Happy Easter. Nice day out, isn't it? I tried to stay up there for about 2 seconds and I just can't. I like to roam. Let me ask you a question. Why are you here? Why have you come to church today? Is it because your family brought you? Is it because it's Easter and you got to pay your dues, so to speak? I'll see you at Christmas. But why are you here? We all have a reason for coming into the house of the Lord, but why are you here? What's the reasoning behind it? We don't have to check off a box anymore. You know why? Because Jesus paid it all. It doesn't have to be something that is a ritual for us every single week, because Jesus paid it all. We come here because it's a relationship. I want to draw closer to him corporately, not just individually and personally at home, but corporately with everyone here, with like believers and those who aren't saved, to get them saved, because we are here to win the lost. Whether you think so or not, your life has a purpose. Whether you're thinking you're relevant, even though your family may think you're irrelevant,
with like believers and those.
Got an echo. Even though your family may think you're irrelevant, you are relevant in the body of Christ. Very relevant. So why do you come? In Philippians, if you have your Bibles, open up to Philippians 3:8. I'm reading out of the New Living Translations. Most of you know this. It says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counted it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. It didn't matter to Paul what he had learned from the world, and Paul was pretty educated. But he counted it. And one translation says he counted it all dung. It didn't matter to him. What mattered to him was knowing Jesus even better. Knowing him closely. He didn't walk with Jesus like the other disciples did. He wanted to know him intimately, personally, because it was a relationship. So it didn't matter. Well, I've got all this. Some people just know about Jesus, but they don't really know Jesus. They know about him. They learn about him. They can read about him, but they don't really know Jesus. If there's any challenge for you today, it's so that you would know who he truly is personally for yourself. And then when we come here corporately, it's on another level because of his love for us, and we understand his love that he has for each and every one of his children. You know, his love is so deep and so protective and so awesome that he says, if anyone causes one of these little ones who trust in my name, it'd be better for them to have a millstone tied around their neck and be cast into the sea. That's how much he loves you. He doesn't want people to cause harm to you. He doesn't want people to hurt you. He doesn't want people to try to destroy everything about you. He's there to protect you. He's there to guide you. He's there to lead you. Paul wanted to know Jesus more and more. In verse 9, it says, and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. His righteousness wasn't enough. Self-righteousness will not do it for you. We are not saved through our own righteousness. We are saved by grace through what? Faith. We are saved because of what Jesus had done. Jesus became sin that he knew, and he knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of him. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. That finished work of him being nailed to the cross. He took the cat of nine tails, 39 lashes that he took. The lashes that ripped the flesh off of his back, he took for you. No one else did that for you. No one else could. It was his blood that needed to be. It had to be a perfect sacrifice, and he was that sacrificial lamb. He was beaten. I've seen where they had talked about the crown of thorns. Sometimes we display the crown of thorns right here, but I've seen there were, where there was a helmet of thorns that was put on him, at least 50 thorns that was crushing his skull. He did that for you and I. He didn't do it for all those that were righteous and noble in their own way and how society had looked at him. He did it for all the sinners, for the prostitutes, for the tax collectors, for the murderers, for all those who was living in filth. And yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's something to shout about. That's something to be happy about. We don't have to go around talking about doom and gloom every single day because we have the joy of the Lord. We have Jesus living inside of us. We have that resurrection power alive in us. The same power that raised him from the dead lives in you. Don't you ever think that you're irrelevant and powerless. You're not. Every born-again believer can pray those prayers that can move mountains in their life. Every born-again believer can say and speak what God has given them to say and make a change and make a difference in their life and other lives. Every person in here that has Jesus as their Lord and Savior can impact other people's lives with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It's good news for a reason. He did it for you. And he left no stone unturned. He did it for you. He did it for me. That's why we can start from a place of victory. Because it's what he has done for us. There's going to be days where you're going to be down and out. No doubt about it. But I want you to remember what he's done for you on the cross. You don't have to continue to suffer. Suffering is a part of it so that Christ may be glorified, but you don't have to suffer and just suffer and just suffer and just suffer. That is not part of the redemption in that sense. If you suffer, suffer because you are living a godly life and people just don't like it. You are doing so well and the favor of God is on you that people are just so envious and jealous of you. You know, the Bible says that those who choose to live a godly life, who desire to live a godly life, will suffer persecution. So you don't have to wonder why these things are coming against you. It's supposed to. That's when we can shout. We can give God the glory. We can thank Jesus because we know with all that patience will come that endurance to be able to withstand what the enemy can ever bring towards us. Verse 10, it says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. It wasn't about the head knowledge with Paul, learning all that he can just so he can go around and debate people. It's not about debating people. You're going to have those, but it's not about it. It's about knowing him. To know Jesus, to know the Father is eternal life. It's to know him, know him. No one can stop you from knowing him. That's the best time that you can spend when you can open up the Word and read what Jesus had done for you. Read about how he was betrayed. He knew he was going to be betrayed. And yet he still washed his disciples' feet. He still prayed for them. He still poured into them. Even the Bible talks about he loved them to the very end. And he knew Peter would deny him. And he still went ahead because he was thinking about them and he was thinking about you. You know, in our own personal lives, we talk about Jesus. He is the center focus of our life. We talk about God the Father. And our focus shouldn't be on self. But you know who God's focus is on? It's on you. That's why he sent his son. So that he could redeem you, so that he can have that relationship that he had in the beginning with Adam. God's thinking about you. So when you read the Bible and it's talking about you, that's you. This is for not just for that generation, but it's also for the generations afar off. It was for you. He saw you in this day. You're his greatest creation. Think about that. We may look up at the stars and the galaxy and everything else and be like, man, this is awesome. But God is looking at you like, you're awesome. Why? Because you were created in his image. Nothing else is created in God's image. You were. He wanted to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. If you haven't been experiencing that resurrection power in your life, I'm going to let you know right now. Get ready. Be expecting. Because it happens. It's supposed to happen. It has to happen. Why? Because his word says so. Get ready. Revival is here. It's not coming. It's here. It's happening already in this nation and across the world. It's happening. It's here. We got to get our hearts right. He was whipped. He was beaten. He was ridiculed. He was lied on, falsely accused. He was persecuted for you and I. You know, he was beaten so bad, Hollywood wouldn't be able to reproduce the facial features of him. It was horrible. You couldn't even imagine it. And he did that for you and I. He had to carry a cross uphill. It was about 500 to 600 yards away. Uphill. And he had no will on the cross. He was dragging it. Falling down. Back bloodied. Some people don't like when you use the word blood, but it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses you from all sin. How can you be ashamed of the blood of Jesus? He had thousands of followers. But when he was at the cross, there was only a handful of people. Everyone deserted him. He died for them. He could have said, nah, forget it. I want a big crowd. I want an audience. No, no, no. He was doing it for an audience of one. But he was doing it for the world. He was the greatest seed that was ever planted into the ground. And you know, a seed, in order for it to grow, it's got to die first and then be raised to life. You're part of that harvest. Don't you dare back down just because things get a little tough in your life. Don't you dare give up. Jesus didn't give up on you. He didn't quit. But yet when he was in a garden, he said, Lord, not my will, your will be done. He had some anxiety. He was sweating blood.
because he was getting ready to be and do exactly what he despised. He was being ready to be taken and to be made into sin for you and I. But he said, not my will. Let yours be done. Verse 11 says, so that one way or another, Paul will be able to experience the resurrection from the dead. This is a resurrection for believers. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death. And in the same way, we need to humble ourselves and become obedient to his word. We need to humble ourselves and come obedient to his plan for our life. We need to humble ourselves and come obedient to the structures and to the order that he has given us in our own personal lives, in our own households, in our own churches, in our own positions and things. We need to become obedient to that. If Jesus became obedient, we should be obedient. Because it will always be greater than the sacrifice that you're thinking you're giving up. You don't just believe in Jesus one time. You have to keep on believing. There's going to be some time where you're going to have some doubts. You got to still continue to believe. When things aren't going your way, you have to still continue to believe. You have to believe. There were a few times where the disciples, I don't know. Jesus, hey, this is supposed to happen. Then they remembered what he had said. They remembered what he had talked about. They remembered that he was supposed to die and be raised to life. They remembered. You have to stay believing in Jesus. And I know there's been some in here that has slightly started doubting. Let me just help you out. Jesus hasn't fallen off his throne. I don't know if this faith stuff really works. It does. But it all depends on where you're putting your faith. Don't put it in you. That would be self-righteousness. Put it in Jesus. It's his righteousness. And he gave you his righteousness. You're overcomers because you put your faith in him. Because you believe in him. You're not an overcomer just because you say, well, I'm an overcomer. You're an overcomer because of what the blood of Jesus has done. In Revelations 12:11, it talks about we shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So whatever is getting in your way from believing in the one true God, God is telling you to today make way for the King of Kings. Make way for the Lord of Lords. Make way for the everlasting Father. Make way for the Prince of Peace. Make way for Emmanuel. Make way for God with us. Make way for Jesus in your life. Get rid of all the clutter. Make way for him. He's coming. He's coming back. We're in the last days. He's coming back. Make way for him. I just don't have the time. Make way for him. Is that thing really important? Is this thing over here really important? Was that meeting really important? When he's saying, hey, sit down with me. Come talk with me. And I'm going to give you true rest. You could be burnt out. Like a burnt French fry, just burnt out. Just no taste, no flavor, no nothing. And Jesus is saying, just take a rest with me. Shut off the TV. Shut off your phone. Get your Bible. And just take a rest with me. Just go outside. It's nice out. Take a rest with me. Listen to what I'm telling you, because I'm going to refresh you. I'm going to stir that gift up on the inside of you. I'm going to help you to overcome these things in your life. I'm going to give you the answer that you've been searching for. Take a rest. But you have to make way. You have to give him space. You have to give him an entryway into your life because we can butt him out. This is the one who died for you. We'll make way for friends and family and even strangers, but we won't make way for the King of Kings. God wants you to make way. In Galatians 3:13, the cross, it says, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He paid that penalty for us. No man can do that. And Jesus didn't do it for all of those that were good. He did it for the grimy and the dirtiest people you can ever think about. He paid the price for them too. Everyone needs a savior. Everyone needs healing. Everyone needs protection. Everyone needs safety and deliverance. Everyone needs Jesus. And they need what he has to offer. Jesus hung on a tree, which is a repetition of what happened with Moses. Some people try to liken it back to the garden. Okay. But at the same time, what happened with Moses and the bronze snake in Numbers 21. Check this out. It says, then the people of Israel set out from Mount Hor, taking the road to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people grew impatient with the long journey, and they began to speak against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness? They complained, there is nothing to eat here, nothing to drink, and we hate this horrible man. So the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and many were bitten and died. Then the people came to Moses and cried out, we have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take away the snakes. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord told him, make a replica of a poisonous snake and attach it to a pole. All who are bitten will live if they simply look at it. So Moses made a snake out of bronze and attached it to a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake could look at the bronze snake and be what? Isn't that the symbol for the paramedics? Where do you think they got that from? And as Jesus was hanging on a cross, he became sin for us. But when we look at what he had done, and by his stripes, we are healed. It was all a part of God's redemptive plan. From the beginning, he knew what he was going to do. He knew we were going to mess up. You ever give somebody a project and you know they're going to mess up? You're just waiting for them to come back? And you know, I knew it was going to happen. I was just waiting on you for you to ask me. I was waiting for you to get more direction, but you just went on and did your own thing. That's kind of what we do with God. He knew that. He knew what we were going to do. He knew what Adam was going to do. But he already had a plan. From the foundation of the world, he already had a plan for us to get back in relationship with him. Jesus did that. That's why we give him the glory. That's why he's the center of our lives. We look to him because he bore our sins, our sicknesses, our diseases, our poverty. He did that. And by his stripes, we are healed. We are made whole in him because of what he's done for us. And if there's anyone here who is dealing with any kind of sickness, any ailment, any disease, in the name of Jesus, by the sound of my voice right here, be healed by the stripes of Jesus. Hallelujah. God's plan was about getting you out from under the curse of the law and into the grace and mercy again so that you can have fellowship with him. If people can look at the beginning, for about 2,000 years, God operated in mercy. And then the law came.
And it was like doom and gloom, man. The Bible calls it administration of death. And then we've been under his grace for over a little over 2,000 years. God's not holding your past against you. God is not beating you up because of what you've done in the past. That's the past. He never called you to do anything because of your past. Ever. So when people try to bring that up, people try to stir that up, people try to go in your past, that's already under the blood of Jesus. You know they're not walking with God if they're trying to bring it up. You've been forgiven. You realize that? You've been forgiven. No shame, no guilt, no condemnation. You've been forgiven in Jesus' name. Stop beating yourself up. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. That's why he sent Jesus. But we have to make way for him. We have to make way. God wants fellowship with you. He wants to be involved in your life. He's the missing link in our lives. Sometimes we may lose loved ones, and it kind of puts a hole there. But see, we can't fill that hole up with some junk. It's got to be with the love of Christ. You got to allow God to heal you. And if you don't, it's going to turn into bitterness. So whatever you misplaced that because of something that may have happened tragically, you're dealing with some trauma, childhood stuff, whatever it is, just let it go. Just give it to God right now. Lord, I give it to you. I'm done carrying this. This isn't for me to carry anymore. Let it go. He loves you. He wants to heal you. He's the only one that can heal you that broken heart. And I guarantee you, you're going to see his love just overwhelm you. But you have to let it go. In 1 Peter 1:18, you have to realize you were created by him and for him. Nothing else fits. Nothing else belongs. Not awards, not cars, not material things, not influence, not other people, not your career. It's Jesus. He's the one that set at liberty those who are held captive. He says, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And we should never get to the place to where we can't talk about the blood of Jesus. It's not graphic. The Bible is very descriptive. I mean, if you read in the Old Covenant, it's pretty descriptive. But the blood of Jesus washes away your sins. It cleanses you. The blood of Jesus justifies you. The blood of Jesus saves you from the wrath of God. The blood of Jesus heals. The blood of Jesus, with the blood of Jesus, you have power over the enemy. There's about 20 some more that the blood of Jesus does for you. How do you not talk about it? How can we go through life powerless? You need the blood. You decree the blood over your life. You need it. It was the precious blood of Jesus, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Verse 20 says, God chose him as your ransom long before the world began, but now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. He chose them as a ransom. I don't know about you, but every time I read about this, it stirs something up in me. And the thing is that you don't have to do this with your life. And just keep dipping. It doesn't have to be that, it could just be a steady climb. And most Christians will do this. The only time they read the word is when they need something. The only time they start praying is when they need something. The only time they come in church is when they're in desperation. The only time they want to get around other people is when they need something. But see, God needs something from you. He needs fellowship. He needs your obedience. He needs your body, because we are supposed to present our bodies as a what? Living. He needs that so that you could be that vessel for him. So he needs you. Each and every one of us, he needs us. But we have to make way. And Mark says here, being a follower. And then Jesus calling to the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, the gospel, you will save it. You can't hold on to your past life. It's going to cost you something. You can't hold on to that, what you used to do. You can't hold on to how you used to go clubbing back in the day. You can't hold on to where, how you used to just hang out with the boys and just do certain things and just cause a lot of trouble. You got to lose that life. And those who will lose their life for God's sake, for Jesus' sake, you will save it. He's come to save you from yourself. But you have to be willing. If you want to be a follower, you have to be willing. If you're ready to give up your life for him, he gave up his. That's the least what we can do, is give up ours. And I'm guaranteeing you, when you do, you're going to find yourself. You're going to find your life again. You're going to get your bounce back again. You're going to have that joy again when you begin to follow Jesus. Man, I've been missing this all this time. Yes. But you know what? That's under the blood. Now let's go. Come on. Let's get with it. Let's get after it. Why? There's some people I need you to impact. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. There's people that need your prayer. Come on. There's lives that need to be saved. There's people that need to hear the good news of the gospel. Too good to be true. Come on. Quit worrying about what other people are talking about you and saying about you. Leave that alone. Come on. We got work to do. We got lives to save. We got people to heal. We got people to feed. There's children in this nation that's being taken away. They need to be saved. We need the wisdom of God. Every born-again believer, and Jesus never sends us out there powerless. We need the Holy Spirit. But we have to make way. We have to give God room in our lives. So whatever hole that has just eaten you up, give it to him. Let him heal it. Let him heal it. Let God heal it. Trust him. He trusts you. But you have to trust him. If there's anybody in here today,
sound of my voice, who has never, ever made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. You know, if you were to die today, you don't know where you end up. Tomorrow isn't promised to us. And if you were to die today, honestly, and I'm going to just be blunt with you, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. If you've never given your life, if you've never received what Jesus Christ has done for you through the death, burial, and resurrection, raise your hand and we'll pray with you. Because you don't need to spend eternity in the lake of fire. You don't need to spend eternity with Satan and with all your friends. God wants you to spend eternity with him. Wow. Everyone's born again? That means we need to go after the lost some more. If there's anyone here who needs to rededicate their life, man, Lord, I've been living hellish. Last time you see me and I've been in a church was last Easter. And you want to start fresh again today. Come on up. Come on up. Don't be afraid. Come on up. God loves you. He wants the best for you. Come on up. You don't have to be ashamed. You know why? Because at some point in time, some of us has been there. Everybody's good? If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you want to do that today, stand up. And everybody's scared of God. I'm not God. Hallelujah. Well, let's just all stand. If we're going to stand, we're going to stand firm. Are we going to declare this? Kings and queens, we decree things. So just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, today is the day that I make you my Lord and Savior. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me on that cross. I thank you, you have died for my sins. And 3 days later, in the belly of the earth, you were raised to life. I thank you for that resurrection power that lives in me. And Lord, and I dedicate my heart and I make way for you. I make room for you in my life so that you can have your way. I lose my life so that you will save me. And I give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.